I'll pass the floor to His Grace, my friend Dhananjaya Prabhu, and he will enlighten you with a few words.
Thank you very much, Vishwambar Prabhu. As Prabhupada himself said, books are the basis and preaching is the essence. So the actual basis, the foundation of our International Society for Krishna Consciousness, are Prabhupada's transcendental books. And Prabhupada has left us an amazing legacy. Vishwambar Prabhu, he touched on the fact that in the early years, we didn't have so much outside financial support. And therefore, we were very much dependent on distributing Prabhupada's books, and in that way, acquiring funds sufficient to maintain the temple, maintain our preaching activities. Now this might be a new era where there is so much financial support, but still, Prabhupada actually said many times in different places in the world that the way to understand if a temple is successful or not is the number of devotees are going out on book distribution and the number of books that are being distributed. So that's how you judge how successful a temple is. And that's our, you can say, history. Our history is based on book distribution. Now, Vishwambar Prabhu also mentioned the names of devotees who are going out on a regular basis. I would also like to add to that list His Grace Ghatotkaraj Prabhu. He also, at every opportunity, at every given opportunity, and if you want to understand how innovative he is and how he distributes books, it's not just on the street, but it's when he's queuing up in the bank to withdraw some money while he's in the queue. He hands out books to the people in the queue. At the airport, of course, you know, the airport is full of so many people from all over the world. And in America, especially in the 70s, practically every single American temple was maintained by book distribution at the international airports. And my dear godbrother, Vaisheshika Prabhu, still goes to the airport in San Francisco all alone. He's been doing it for an incredibly number of years. I would say probably he's the longest serving book distributor in ISKCON, but you can correct me if you know somebody else's done it as long as him, but he's getting on for about 40 years in distributing books. But again, he's also in a different time frame because now he's getting so much financial support from so many young IT potential devotees of his from Silicon Valley. And there's so many ways to do fundraising, of course. And we know that my dear godbrother Sridhar Swami used to say, we're not in the business of fundraising, we're in the business of friend raising. So if you want to make friends, go out there with some books. And you'll be surprised how many people are very positive about the fact that there are Hare Krishna devotees existing. It didn't used to be like that in the 70s. In fact, it was the complete opposite, where there was so many different deprogrammers wanted to do us in and close us down, basically speaking. So Prabhupada said that. He said in the beginning, we'll be met with so much, first of all, scorn, thinking, what are these people? They're just wasting their time. Then after some years, because the devotees are still doing the same thing, still out there at the airports or on the street, or going shop to shop or whatever they're doing as far as distributing Prabhupada's books, then they consider us a threat, just like at the time of Gorbachev being established as the president of the former USSR. The KGB were very concerned. They said there's three things that are disturbing our communist society: drugs, rock and roll, and Hare Krishna. You believe that? We're up there with drugs and rock and roll as being potential enemies of the state. you know, contaminating the pure communist ethos. And of course, Prabhupada also said, because we went through rough patches regarding our so-called security when there was so much Cold War activities going on, that USSR were amassing so many nuclear weapons and the West were accumulating also so many weapons. And they came to the conclusion this is a mad scenario. Mutual, what is it? MAD, what does it stand for? Does anybody remember? That's right. Mutually assured destruction because of all the accumulation of nuclear weapons. And one devotee asked, Prabhupada, how can we avert? Is it possible? Are we in a position? He said, yes. He said, the way that we can avert this MAD scenario is that there should be a profuse distribution of Bhagavad Gita's in the USSR. And during that time, in the late 70s, over 5 million Russian translations of Prabhupada's Bhagavad Gita as it is were smuggled into the former USSR. Then there was an amazing transformation with the appointment of Gorbachev and how he was willing to come to some amicable arrangement with the West. And then, of course, the Iron Curtain, that wall that came down in 1989. And this is all due to, and I'm absolutely convinced about this, and I'm not exaggerating, it's all got to do with distributing Srila Prabhupada's books. That's how powerful and how potent these books are. I'll tell you another thing that Prabhupada used to tell us in India. He would say, just offhand, he would say, even if you all leave tomorrow, all the temple presidents, all the Sankirtan devotees, all the pujaris, all the temple commanders, all the cooks and the sannyasis and GBC and etc., etc. In other words, as if the whole of the ISKCON just kind of disappeared and there was nobody practicing, he said, still, Prabhupada said, the damage has been done. These books are out there and someone else will take up this great mission and they will be successful. But he said, I want you to take the credit. Don't wait for you all just to leave. No, you should, because you've got some youthful experience in your lives, you're strong and enthusiastic. And that's one way how to maintain enthusiasm, is by going out and doing books. I personally experience that every time I go out with Vishwambar Prabhu, who's so kind to allow me to associate with him. It's like taking a shower. That's what he likes to say. So I feel like I've taken a shower today. I've distributed a few of Prabhupada's books. We're not talking about massive numbers. It's not like we go out and do 150 Gitas every day. That might happen now and again, but it's a rarity. But the reality is we do 5, 6, 8, maybe 10 Bhagavad Gitas and 10 or 15 small books. But we feel like we've completely become purified because, again, besides books being the basis, purity is the force. So when we're actually wanting to become purified, and that's the whole reason why we chant, in fact it should be the only reason that we chant Hare Krishna, there might be some other ulterior motives, but the idea is to have a pure heart. Cheto darpanam arjanam bhava maha devagni nirvapanam. We want to put out this fire, extinguish this fire of material desires, and live in a pure atmosphere. Prabhupada used to always give the example of just like if you have a glass jar and you want to make sure that ink doesn't enter into that glass jar. He said, what do you fill it up with? You fill it up with a pure liquid, like milk, until it's practically overflowing. Then if you try to add the ink to the jar, it will slide off the surface of the top. Won't be able to contaminate the jar because the jar is filled up to the brim with milk. In the same way, if our hearts are filled up to the brim with how to serve Srila Prabhupada's mission, and we're supposed to also be Prabhupada Anugas, right? That means following in the footsteps of Srila Prabhupada. And Prabhupada said, first achar, then prachar. First you be a good example, then you can preach, because preaching, of course, is the essence. It's the essence of our being, is to preach Krishna consciousness. And Prabhupada would say, it's not that you have to stand in the street corner and talk for hours and hours and hours, like some people do, just like in Speaker's Corner in London. I used to go there before I became a devotee and listen to the head of the Methodist Church, because he was quite a charismatic person. And there might be somebody there, extolling the virtues of Mao Zedong, and this person extolling the virtues of Darwin, and so on and so forth. But, you know, these conversations are practically meaningless, because after some time, you forget in one ear, out the other ear, nothing really changes anybody that much. Maybe a couple of people. And Prabhupada said, don't spend your time just arguing and trying to explain the philosophy. Give them the book. Because once they've got the book, then even after you've finished meeting with them and you part, still they're going to change their whole lives. Their spiritual journey begins by receiving that book in their hands. Even if they don't buy the book, even if they just touch the book, even if they don't even do that, if they're polite with a devotee, because there's so few of us, there's so few devotees existing in this world. And we want to fill up the whole world with devotees, and that's only going to happen by personal contact, by personally going out with the books and having the faith, the shraddha, that some or another, I might not be the most qualified book distributor, but some or another, my dear Lord, I want to serve your pure devotees, Srila Prabhupada, because I've got such a debt. We're all debtors to Srila Prabhupada, because he's given us such an amazing legacy that's going to last. I was mentioning this the other day. It's going to last 10,000 years. Now, Christianity has been around for just over 2,000 years, right? This is 2014 AD, Anno Domini, in the year of our Lord. And it took Christianity quite a time to really establish itself, a couple of hundred years in the beginning. So in the same way, we're also just establishing ourselves. We've been around since 1966. How many years is that? That's 48 years. So we're just coming into middle life, And we've got so much time to look forward to expanding the number of devotees, expanding the number of temples, expanding the number of books that are going out. And don't be put off, because some people say, oh, this is old-fashioned reading books. I've got my tablet. I've got my Kindle. I've got my Google. I've got this. I've got that. No. Actually, of course, we can use that same technology. There's no doubt about that. But books will always be there, because they are the basis. They are the foundations, and they're very strong foundations. And there's so much to talk about if we really have that desire. If you're a very talkative person, some devotees are very shy, they hardly say two words. And even if your body becomes physically debilitated, there was one brahmachari godbrother of mine in San Diego, and he was a paraplegic. And he would go out in his wheelchair. He had a motorized wheelchair. And he would stop at the lights. And he would actually distribute Prabhupada's books just by being there in his wheelchair at the traffic lights. So we've got no excuse. We should have no excuse about this opportunity, because it's a golden opportunity. Especially with the coming of the Christmas marathon. Why do we do that? Because in the rest of the year, most people are kind of perhaps very cautious how they spend their funds, their money, especially in the days of financial crisis. But they would save up their money to spend on ridiculous things during the Christmas period. And that's where most of all the department stores make their profit, during the month of December. Sometimes they make more money in that month than they do for the balance 11 months. So in the same way, we can take an opportunity of the generosity of people and say to people, here's a wonderful gift, this Bhagavad Gita. This gift continues giving. It's giving of itself all the time. In fact, I tell people I've been reading Bhagavad Gita for 45 years, and I'm still not tired of reading it, because there's just so many things that one can learn and one can, you know, because it's all different angles of understanding. And people are surprised. They say, well, you've read the book for 45 years, it must be so boring. But it's not. It's not boring. Just like we're constantly chanting the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. One time, George Harrison, when I went to visit him with Sripati one time, he had come back from the pub, because we were there unofficially. And he was a little bit drunk, obviously, and he was a little surprised to see us sitting in his front room. And he said, you people, you're so boring. You never do anything but just chant Hare Krishna. You should go down to the pub and get drunk sometime, you know, or just take a whole different sort of attitude towards life. But actually, he was embarrassed. He was embarrassed because we kind of caught him out that he still drank. But at the same time, he was a great devotee. And actually, he later on, he apologized. He said, that was really silly of me to do that. Because we know that we get so much transcendental realizations by chanting. It's not that we are just boringly chanting Hare Krishna. I mean, we're learning from Prabhupada how to actually prepare ourselves to go back home, back to Godhead. And it's guaranteed for those devotees who go out and distribute a few books, they're guaranteed to go back home, back to Godhead by the simple display of love and faith in Srila Prabhupada during this Christmas marathon. So there's so many advantages. The Vaishnava Prabhu mentioned about that Prabhupada could have spent the rest of his days in Vrindavan and not leave the samadhi of Rupa Goswami. But actually, in many ways, he did step out of Vrindavan, but then he stepped back into Vrindavan at the end of his life. And what was he doing at the end of his life? He was translating the Srimad Bhagavatam right up practically to his last breath. And why was he doing that? It wasn't like he wanted to become an internationally acclaimed scholar or novelist or writer. No, he was doing it for us. He was spending so much of his time, and he would say also, I'm spending so much of my blood in writing these books, not just for you, but for the whole of humanity. So we have to think how we can become part of Prabhupada's intimate associates. And I can guarantee you that the way you can become a part of Prabhupada's intimate associates is by talking about Prabhupada's books, by distributing Prabhupada's books, and by living your life according to the teachings that we study all the time in Bhagavad Gita and Srimad Bhagavatam, Chaitanya Charitamrita. Because this is a living religion. Prabhupada, sometimes criticize the Gaudiya Mutt and say, what are they doing in their mutts? They're simply eating and sleeping. Eating and sleeping. They might not be mating, they might not be defending, but they're having their lunch, and perhaps some of you have been to a Gaudiya Mutt temple. And the nice thing in those temples, of course, is the sannyasis serve the guests. Mm-hmm. It's not that the devotees serve the sannyasis, but actually the sannyasis serve the guests. And I think that's something that we should pay attention to, really, because that's a great gesture of humility. But they're not actually preaching. They're not going beyond the confines of their mutt or outside of the compound. Very rarely, perhaps, they'll go in Harinam in certain auspicious days. But they're not actively preaching. But that's what Prabhupada wanted us to do, because that's preaching is the essence. Books are the basis, preaching is the essence. And if we want to be happy, if we want to live in a pure Krishna conscious existence, then Prabhupada has given us all the tools, all that we require to be successful in this human form of life, have been given by Srila Prabhupada in his books. So I just humbly request that, because we're going on and on, again and again in this particular theme, because the marathon actually begins this coming Saturday, right? On the 30th of November. 29th. Oh, sorry, that's the day after, isn't it? It's the 29th. The 29th of November up until the 24th of December. So even if you just go out once, find a friend, find somebody that inspires you, Because you need that. You need to be inspired. We're not naturally inspired, generally speaking. We're kind of naturally lazy. You know, like water always tries to find its level. So we're always trying to think, how can I always remain in a horizontal level? But we shouldn't remain horizontal. We should be vertical in our thinking. I should stay awake, and I should, at any given opportunity, and Gadagraj Prabhu, he is expert at that. Gadagraj Prabhu, have you got some examples you like to quote of how you've distributed books in unique situations? On the airplane, right? On the airplane, not just on a bus or a train or the tube, on a plane. Huh? The flight attendants. And the pilot also. So you can learn a lot from Gadagraj Prabhu, especially if you're thinking of going to India, like Sutapa Prabhu, he's going in January, isn't it? So always keep a few books on you when you go inside the plane. Because he uses every single opportunity. And there's human beings everywhere, isn't there? Everywhere on the planet. What about any other example? When you go shopping.
I saw him distributing to the wafers the other day. Shyamasundara said, stop!
But the thing is, you can't stop a determined book distributor. Determined book distributors are a very unique species of human being. They're one of the topmost out of the 400,000 species of human beings. They're definitely up there in the top 10. So we just use, whatever intelligence we've been given or whatever ability that Krishna's given us. Especially at this particular time of the year. Of course, it doesn't just end on the 24th of December. The world doesn't come to a grinding halt. No. Even after, after Christmas, you've got the Christmas sales, right? The New Year's sales where everybody's got rubbish presents they want to, give back to Marks and Spencers or Selfridges or whatever. They might have got five pairs of socks that don't fit or a tie or whatever, some useless present. Of course, the giver's thinking this is something, I made the endeavor to give my dear friend or my family member this particular gift. But the real gift that gives on giving is Prabhupada's Bhagavad Gita, the Veda book, the science of self-realization. And don't think there's, maybe if I join and go out there, we'll run out of books and we'll have nothing to do. No. We've made arrangements so that there's sufficient number of books. There's a new print on the science of self-realization, ASSR, which was published way back in the, I think, late 70s, early 80s. And in those days, that book made more devotees than any other book. We had so many devotees. In fact, we had an amazing sort of crop of devotees that were really enthusiastic to go out and distribute books. At one time, just this Bhaktivedanta Manor, we had 250 devotees going out regularly on book distribution. 250! And most of them came by reading The Science of Self-Realization. So again, that's available. There's also the Veda book, which is like the update on The Science of Self-Realization in some ways. Right? There's a few articles which are in both books. So they're related. They're like twin brothers almost. So I'd like to finish there. Is there any questions or comments by anybody?